Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
All right, Jeff, it's been long enough. I hope you're recording because we've got deadlines. I feel like I sound like I have a stuffy nose or something. I don't know what's going on. It is 32 degrees outside.
Holy.
In North Carolina. It's beautiful. My type of weather. And it's been a while, but you know what, Jeff? Desperate times call for desperate measures. We are in the holiday season, but with the holidays come fantasy football playoffs, which is what everyone really wants to hear about now. Maybe not from us, because we're not great at it, but we are great at telling people stuff and giving people advice and just talking about, you know, the Cobra Kai's of the world, the Thanksgiving and Christmas movie recaps that people want. Because this is what they come to this pod for. They don't come here for fantasy advice. They come here for baby drama, car drama, house drama, and movie drama. Jeff, it's been a long time. This might be the first time I've talked to you in a long time as well. So, how are you?
It has been far too long, Billy. Yeah. I will say we've exchanged many a text message, but hearing your voice in this winter time of 2020 that we've almost made it through... As we said, we did not make the playoffs in the ship, but we'll get a little tease for Raf Pool. I mean, some wild finishes there. It's been a weird year for a lot of reasons, and fantasy football in the NFL was no different. But it has been too long. Any major happenings for Thanksgiving? I know we haven't hit that. I will say on my end. No major things happened except that we had it on Saturday because Shay had to work and get that money.
I cooked and Ashley was out of town. I picked her up from the airport on Thanksgiving, actually. Thanksgiving morning.
There we go.
She's visiting her brother in Florida. She went to the Steelers-Jaguars game, actually, Jacksonville.
Oh, that was cool.
Yes, that's how long ago this was. And I made a because she has been vegetarian now for a while. So I made a butternut squash risotto.
Oh, me.
With brown rice. Dude. And I made myself a little nice, you know, 3-pound turkey. Little tiny turkey. her food was slamming. Like.
Oh, my.
And it lasted forever, but I might be onto the old butternut squash risotto train. I might make that again. But yeah, Thanksgiving. Delicious. Love it. I love actually making the food. We got our nice, you know, our new kitchen. New appliances, nice to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Open concept, can watch the football while cooking because there's no wall in between.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. So Thanksgiving, major success. Love it. I think it's been good, and many more to come in this beautiful house, hopefully.
Oh, yeah. There we go, baby.
That was right. I said hopefully. I meant like hopefully as in like in this house, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I meant by that.
Well, it was good. It sounds like the electrical and the water issues and the remodels all in the past. All that craziness is gone. There won't be any pod interruptions for I got a contractor who said he'd be here from 8 to 4, and now he's showing up right during the pod classic. Thanksgiving's in the rearview mirror, though, Will. It is December 9th. We are what? 2 weeks and 2 days from the big day, Christmas. Christmas movies have commenced. You've watched some. I've watched some. What have you been getting into? I haven't hit any of the classics, if you will, yet. Shay was trying to get into those like right after Thanksgiving. I was like, whoa, slow your roll. You got to build up. You can't just go to the top of the mountain and then ride it down until Christmas. You gotta make it special.
Is Godmother a Christmas movie? Because you wrote that down.
I mean, it's definitely takes place during Christmas time. I would call it. It's tough. So have you seen it?
No, I mean, would I be asking you that? Sorry, I feel like I would know the answer if I watched the movie.
Fair play. It's with Jillian from Workaholics. Yep. She's a godmother. She goes to Boston, which was kind of cool to see the old stomping grounds. So it takes place during Christmas. There's snow. I mean, I found a new thing. I'll say, okay, it is a Christmas movie. But I found a new thing, and I hate to be one of those people, but I was just really annoyed because I know the general layout of Boston and like the spacing and the distance of where things mm-hmm. are. And it's very close, but it's like they had a couple scenes where the main character was walking on foot and then they would show her in one part of town. And I'm like, okay, I know where that is. And then they would cut to the same day to a completely different part of town. That's like 4 miles away. Mm. I was like, okay, you didn't walk with full shopping bags 4 miles and you still look full makeup while it's snowing outside. Okay. You would be battle hardened. The wind would have chapped your face and you'd be exhausted and sweating.
Could be the work of the fairy godmother, though, as far as I can tell.
That's true. That's true. That's why they call it. I'd give it it's a Disney Plus creation. I'd give it about a 7.
Give me a recap. Not a recap. So I like what you're doing here. I like the buildup.
Yeah.
And, you know, the wife and I, we're very traditional when it comes to the classics. And no, not like A Christmas Story and, you know, like old stupid movies. But, you know, the classics that we always talk about every year on this pod. But I see you wrote Christmas Chronicles 2. I know there was a number 1. We never watched that one either. Are those movies that we should maybe throw into the rotation?
If you're looking for early December fodder, I would say Christmas Chronicles mm-hmm. 1. Give that a go. Christmas Chronicles 2, it's a hard pass. It's a hard pass. Okay. It's just too much CGI, too weird. Like, at least the first one is like centered in around Christmas and kind of an age-old story. So I would say, you know, the first one is about, you know, a 6, but hit it around December 2nd, December 3rd to get you in the feeling, okay? Oh, I mean, boy. Christmas movies in general, if we're outside the top tier, I mean, they can be extremely cheap.
Did you ever watch the Anna Kendrick one that came out last year?
Noelle, I believe.
Yeah,
is that one? Yeah, Noelle is better than Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah, we watched that one last year. I thought that one was good.
Yeah, it's probably right in that Godmother, maybe a little bit better than that territory. So, well, again, mid December fun.
We're talking about Christmas movies, and I remember, you know, probably a top 3 episode of this pod is of course the 2-hour Christmas movie rankings. Go ahead and look mm-hmm. that up for you listeners here. It's got about 6 of us in a round table form discussing the best Christmas movies of all time. And, you know, we had some unofficial surveys being taken with points given out to movies and everything. And I just want to let you know, I've stumbled upon a new thing where if I were to redo that survey, I believe Jingle All the Way would be number 1. I have met a lot more people in the last year or so. I mean, I'm even going to go say the last 6 months who I've working with at the new Shake Shack, who out of nowhere will just say like, oh, can we put Jingle All the Way on the TV? And I'll be like, huh? I'll be like, yes, go on.
Yeah,
and they'll please, say it's their favorite movie. It's their favorite Christmas movie. I'm like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And these people that you're working with, I presume they're a little bit younger.
It's a mix. I mean, one of them is a new manager who's roughly my age, but he just started like 4 weeks ago, and he just randomly brought it up, and I'm like, okay,
that makes more sense. I feel like people of our generation are locked in to Jingle All the Way. The Gen Z's, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a good pulse on what's hip and cool now with their gen. But I feel like if they see it, they won't have the same nostalgia, but I think they would enjoy it. So.
I mean, if you want to, I'm just going to get straight to it with these kids these days. So
kids these days.
There's this 16 or 17 year old kid, you know, he's nice, very nice kid. Also, his name's Jack. Are we still making Jacks? I guess we are.
Kellen's middle name is Jack.
I mean, but his first name is Jack. I mean, come on. Anyway, he's, you know, like you called him, Gen Z, TikTok, whatever. They're all into that crap. And we're playing music, and he, you know, he wants to play music and whatever. It's people I've never even heard of, obviously, because we're old. I then start naming things. I'm like, let's play a game. Let's just name some things, and let's see if you know what they are. So my go-to is like when I think of TikTok, I think of the song. I don't think of this app, right?
Yep.
And he goes, oh, what song is that? I was like, oh, it's by Kesha. And he's like, who's that? And I was like, you're lying.
Whoa.
He's like, no, I don't know. He's like, who is that? Is that a band? Is that a group? And I was like, how long ago? Five. I mean, she made a song, what, 3 years? I mean, I don't know. Just so then we just go down this rabbit hole. Like, who's Kesha? I was like, who is, oh my God. I was like, who's Destiny's Child? And he's like, oh, that's the one that has Beyonce, right? And I was like, oh my God.
Oof.
I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Kids these days.
Yeah, but I'm just
kids
named.
These
so
days.
Then he starts, he's like, oh yeah, well, we can play this game with me. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. And he's just like, I didn't even think he was speaking English. And I know that's like what our parents did to us, right? Like when we were saying names. Like if we were telling them music we were listening to and they were like, what? Like that's how I felt. He's like saying words that I think were forming a sentence, but these were like artists. And I was like, you're
interesting.
I was like, yeah. So
what kind of genre is he into?
He's into everything, but he was definitely listening like, you know, TikTok rap stars and like,
okay.
I couldn't even tell. I honestly above my head, over my head, no idea what's going on. But there
Fair
you go,
play.
Gen Z's.
Fair play.
Before we get into sports, give me you took a little surprise. Well, to me it was a surprise. Little Palm Springs getaway, a little golf, a little future mother of two trip.
Yes.
I guess you're a father of two. But yes, little baby bump, baby moon. I don't know what they call those things.
Lord willing, I can count that as my baby moon. Well,
what went into that and what was the trip about?
So, essentially, Mike Murphy went to college with the owner of this house, which happens to be the Lucille Ball of I Love Lucy fame, her house in Palm Springs. So it's a very nice estate that we were able to get a good deal on. And so we, you know, I don't know if I can say this in a pod of this wide distribution, but, you know, we defied the orders of our leaders and traveled outside of our home with people from other homes and, and just, you know, the trip was better than I had pretty, to be honest, I had pretty low expectations because in the middle of this huge courtyard in the back is a pool. And obviously we have Kellen, who's a, you know, 2-year-old who runs around everywhere. So I was like, great, I'm going to be sprinting around that pool, just doing laps all day. But it turned out, you know, got some help. Some other people stepped up and did some laps as well. And I was able to go golfing with Greg, who wasn't a part of the trip, but just he made that hour and a half adventure out to the Taquitos out in Palm Springs, a very lovely golf course for the price, I will say, not having a ton of experience. That was great. And, you know, got some brewskis. I think I watched Disney's Cars, which I know we've poo-pooed. Kellen is all about it now, so I've had to watch Cars once daily probably for the past since we last podded, at least. We'll save that for another pod though. So Palm Springs trip, it was good. It was short, but it was nice to just get away and you know, enjoy the nice weather, if you will, even though it's hotter here than it is in Palm Springs. So that's always fun.
Oh. Wow, that's interesting. Well, nice for you guys to get a getaway. Nice for Greg to show his face and escape the pasta household. Hopefully he was able to kind of, you know, make a meeting for making a quick getaway, I would assume, unless he stayed with you guys a night.
He did not. He did not. He came out for the golf, took the tour, and then headed back for dinner time with the missus. So.
All right, well, that is our recap of Thanksgiving and Christmas movies, so thank you for listening to All the Fields Fantasy Pod. All right, Jeff, let's get into this NFL fantasy, all this stuff. We're going to be able to breeze through this. We got everything written down, ready to rock. But first, you're writing the Melvin Ingram meeting. Yes, quite a clash.
All over the social.
Yeah, clash. Melvin Ingram stopped into Shake Shack and pretty much I wasn't even supposed to be out there. I was having a meeting with my manager, fellow manager, and I heard a little bit of, like, you know, business going on outside, meaning just, you know, it sounded like it was a little busier than it should be. So I went outside just to go check on the crew and I helped deliver some food. And first bag I grab is just happens to be an order for Mel, like no last name, no phone number, just says Mel. So I grab it, I call it. Dude walks over and just like he looks like in the pictures. Got a mask on, got his, you know, dreads. Well, short, you know, short dreads.
Yeah.
Definitely, you know, big, but not like big. Like, he was tall,
yeah,
but he wasn't like
that. Was going to be my comment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He didn't seem that tall. He just seemed thick.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
A girth to him.
Yeah, but not like someone you would say is like a bodybuilder. You know, just that's the thing about NFL players. They're actually not that big. But anyway, see him and like literally my I ask him if he needs anything else, and then I just took a look at him and I was like, I really like, as I wrote in the post, I said, you are Melvin Ingram. That's just what I said. I was like, you're Melvin Ingram. Like, I know you are, like, because I can just tell. And he goes, yes, I am. And I'm like, I'm like, dude. And I just kind of went into total fanboy mode. I was like, man, like, I have your jersey. I've been a Charger fan my whole life. Like, I had season tickets. You know, I'm so sorry you're done for the year. I didn't say anything like, you're probably not being a Charger anymore. Like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Because that would have been probably not good. But anyway, I just kind of talked to him for like 2 minutes. And I was like, hey, like, I hate to do this, but can I get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, for sure. And he like he was with his, after he talked to him and whatever, I saw his Instagram and it was like his agent that he was with.
Oh, cool.
But I also asked him, I was like, oh, like, are you here because you went to South Carolina? He's like, I actually live here. I was like, what?
What?
He's like, yeah. So he went to South Carolina for college. I mean, I don't know where he's actually from, but he says he lives here, and obviously he's on IR, so that's why he's here now. But yeah, I just took a picture of me, and I said, you know, thank you for all you do, get better, whatever. And he's like, thank you so much. You know, I wanted to see what car he got into, but I didn't follow him out. It'd be creepy.
He is from Hamlet, North Carolina.
There you go.
I'm sure you can know where that is.
Yeah. I mean, I don't either.
Oh, yeah. It's way outside of Charlotte, kind of on the border of South Carolina. Fayetteville is, it's kind of in between Charlotte and Fayetteville.
Ooh, yeah. Fayetteville is like 2.5 hours east.
Yeah. So he's probably an hour and a half south.
Yeah. But,
east,
southeast. Really cool. Took a picture and that was it. But it was just funny. Cool. And then when I went, like,
you are
obviously
Melvin
when I,
Ingram.
There were a lot of people there too. So, like, one guest, one lady, she's like, who was that? And then, like, there were people, you know, I work with, they were like, who was that? I was like, I literally just said, dude, that was Melvin Ingram. Then I just walked straight back to the office. Like, I just, like, I was so sick. Like, I was so pumped because we actually get a lot of Panthers who come in there. Mike Davis, your boy.
Oh, my
boy. He's been in there, like, two times in the last week. And never when I'm working, by the way. I always get a text from my GM. He's like, Mike Davis is here again. Roman Harper comes in a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Greg Olson goes to the one that I used to work at.
Oh, that's how it's going to be, anyways, Greg.
Great, great time. Great time.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Hell yeah. Speaking of Panthers.
Oh yeah. Look at that transition.
Just kind of go into, before the show, we just kind of copied and pasted this rundown from last year to see what we talked about last year. And at this time, Ron Rivera was fired from the Panthers. This, of course, was pre-cancer. I do wonder if he had cancer last year, would he have been fired? That's another talk for another day. He had quotes coming out saying with the Panthers team that he was with that, you know, trophy, we will not accept mediocrity. Then he gets fired. But it was a very nice farewell firing. You know, they gave him a press conference, which teams don't ever really do that. They loved him so much, the city loves him. And just wanted to say, like, look at him now. I mean, taking a Washington football team who, scratching our backs, even before the Darius Geis and Dwayne Haskins just nonsense, we wanted to watch this team play. We were fans. We were excited to see this defensive line with four first-round picks, on this defense line. And actually, it's five if you count the linebackers, because Ryan Kerrigan is a first-round pick as well. So they got five first-round picks on this defense in the front seven, causing havoc. Obviously, Terry McLaurin has been probably over. I mean, he probably has exceeded expectations, if I were to kind of say, just because his quarterback situation, the team wasn't supposed to be good. And, of course, their running game has just been outstanding. Even with Antonio Gibson getting hurt against the 11-0 Steelers, they still found a way with freaking Peyton Barber and J.D. McKissick. So Ron Rivera has been I think, really just a godsend for this Washington football team. And I love watching them play, man. I even Alex Smith doesn't always dink and dunk anymore. He out dink and dunked Ben Roethlisberger.
He out dink and dunked the dink and dunker. Big Breeze, as they say.
Yeah, big Breeze. Do you have any more expectations for this Washington team? Just like in a little 30s, like, I mean, they're in first place.
Honestly, I think they're going to win the NFC East. Mm. I mean, people are now all on the G-men, and I'm like, you do realize their offense is a garbage fire when they play any sort of, you know, respectable defense. We always thought the football team could be spicy, and I think with Alex Smith doing it, they're not going to go far. They're gonna have to depend on that defense. Defense is going to have to play well, play disciplined, and their offense is going to have to do enough to keep them involved in games. They're like, the way I would put it is, they're a more competent team than the Bears, where they maybe don't have the ceiling of the Bears defense, but their offense definitely doesn't have the floor of the Bears offense. So
both teams, the Giants and the football team, their schedules aren't great. So the Giants play the Cardinals, Browns, Ravens, Cowboys. So let's pretend they go 2-2 there, right? Like, I don't think they're beating the Ravens. Yep. And then Browns and Cardinals, they could lose to both of those, but I'll give them one win just to be safe. So that finishes them at 7-9. But the football team also has not an easy schedule. They go against the Niners next week, which
they could win.
They could win, but then the Seahawks, who knows?
They could win.
The Panthers, I mean,
yeah, they could win.
Okay, fine. And then the Eagles, I guess they could win. Okay.
Honestly, they could win three. They could win three of those. I would say they're.
The Niners Seahawks team, though, I have no idea. I cannot pick a Niners game to save my life.
No.
I really could not. So now that they have Antonio Gibson hurt, let's see if they can pick up a cycle with their running backs. But yeah, the G-men, people are kind of all over. I guess the coach, people are loving all the coaches, to be honest. Joe Judge and Ron Rivera. But yeah, their offense is definitely in shambles. And this next kind of thing I wrote, because there's been football every day, literally,
at weird times,
very weird times, especially for you, for me, not so much, but for you in California, you're watching games at 2 o'clock, or, you know, whatever. There's a game tomorrow night, the Patriots and the Rams, a rematch of the Super Bowl, from 2 years ago, big game for both these teams. And just want to mention, like, I had no idea, because it's Wednesday right now we're recording this. I honestly don't even know what day it is. I thought yesterday was Wednesday. The football is confusing me, because there's so much football. I don't know what day it is. I always think it's Monday when there's football.
Yeah.
And now with all the COVID stuff, games are changing all the time, and we're going to get into fantasy in about 5 minutes. We know what the fantasy playoffs are. And that's just kind of like, because there's always games, and the fantasy playoffs start tomorrow now. Because there's a game tomorrow night. Just been a weird, weird year, and not so much like we always say. We always say, this has been a weird year for fantasy. No, this has been a weird year for life. And fantasy is just one of the things impacted.
Yeah, I think it went about as expected, just with the randomness and the craziness. In some leagues, we were the beneficiaries. In other leagues, we went down in flames, and we'll get into that. But let's hit a little bit of real-life NFL. I mean, Pats-Rams, it could be spicy. The Pats are another just weird team. I think they're like the 49ers. Like, can you really pick this game? I mean, I would think the Pats could beat the Rams, because all you have to do is get in Jared Goff's head. That's the only thing you have to do. And then that's about that. I think it's around that time of the year. You know, we're coming into week 14. Things are, you know, we're in December football. We're after Thanksgiving. That means we're the real part of the football season, as they say. AFC, who do you like? You like the Chiefs still? I mean, there's some spicy teams, obviously. The Steelers, the Bills. It's kind of all over the place.
So the one question I'm going to ask you this. So I wrote NFC is a cluster, I really don't have faith in any NFC team, to be honest. Like, for a while it was the Seahawks, but they can't beat anyone recently. And the AFC has a lot of good teams. But if I were to say, so I'm going to Vegas in a month. the annual MLK trip, regardless if it's shut down or not. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put money on the Chiefs, whether it's only 2-1. It might only be 2.5-1, to be honest. But if I were to say the Chiefs or the field, who are you taking? Because I'm taking the, I think I'm taking the Chiefs, man.
Oh, shoot. That's tough. Given how, like, some of the other top contenders, albeit the Steelers, the Titans, the Colts, those were teams, and the Bills, to a certain extent, you thought they could, they just haven't been consistent. At their best, they could probably beat the Chiefs, but I think there's just too much to handle. If I'm betting, though, I probably just go with the field, just for odds sake, but I think the Chiefs are a class above the rest of the conference.
Yeah, and out of the NFC, I mean, I could really only think of the Packers. Like, that's the one team that I think could make a good showing against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I think that's the one Super Bowl I really want to see. I mean, it would be cool to see the Bills in the Super Bowl, I'm not going to lie. But
yeah,
I think Chiefs, I don't trust the Saints at all. Like, they've done this show every year. They get to the playoffs on an amazing winning streak. I mean, they lost to Kirk Cousins last year, you know, in New Orleans.
The Cowboys beat Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. obviously, NFC East team, whatever. The NFC West, who knows? I mean, can't really trust the Seahawks or the Rams right now. Oh, Gucci make a little appearance. Hey, Gucci.
Yeah, I think once we get into a couple pods from now, we'll be into our playoff survivor pool, and I will not be picking the Saints this year because they have just played with my heart too much in the playoffs. I like, you know, the Packers have lost some games, but the way that Aaron Rodgers is playing, I mean, it's just tough, and I think their defense will, when they put it together, they can do it. I think they'll make it through, kind of, they can beat any of these other NFC contenders on any given Sunday.
Speaking of playoffs, Jeff, let's get right into it. The fantasy playoffs are now about to be underway in about 29 hours, 32 hours, I don't know, give or take an hour or so.
Yep.
Let's get right into the ship, 12-team half PPR league. Unfortunately, the second straight season, neither you or I have made the playoffs in this league.
Not great.
Near the bottom of the league. I did put on a nice two game winning streak to end the season. But there was drama. Lots of talking from not the right people, to be honest, or not the same people you would expect. Muff saw, COVID saw, on tilt for his last second elimination from the playoffs by 0.6 points, I believe. Hatch getting a win by 0.6 points to eliminate Muffin. And you have a huge question here, which we need to pose. And go ahead and ask it.
Yeah, so I think the biggest chatter that we heard, there was, you know, because it came down to the Tuesday night finish.
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Was really hard to follow. There were two matchups that were happening. I think Muff needed to win, and he didn't win. Just playing Coastin, I believe, and then... who was it? Moz and Hatch, Bluey playing in the other matchup. And so it came down to kind of the final even plays of the game. If Andy Dalton had maybe thrown an interception, it could have tilted the tide over that 0.6. But needless to say, Muff, in typical Muff fashion, went on a tirade saying fantasy is BS, besmirching my name to a certain extent, and you know, said he's quitting the league, never playing again, just gonna sports gamble and all this. What odds do you give that of actually coming to fruition? I mean, if anything, I feel like he's gonna be back, maybe not next year, but the following year.
I'll say we can't put odds on eventually, because that's a given.
Okay.
But if we were to go just next year. I mean, even Dave made a great point. Dave even said, you know, just when you think you're out, you get pulled back in. So,
yep.
I mean, really, the only success story in this is Kurt. Kurt has been the only one who's been stayed true to form. Like, he has not been back since he won.
That's true.
Whatever it was, four or five years ago. I think it all depends on, you know what? No, he's back. I'm just say it right now. He'll be back.
He's back, baby.
He'll be back. I think next year it'll be 2021 year of the Muff.
2021 year of the Muff. Not the year of the Cardinals, that's for sure.
No. Oh gosh. Hey, that bet still lives for now. But no COVID, you know, maybe things will be different next year. So we'll see we'll see how he feels next season. But a tough way to go out. And you know, he can say how much he wants that he's on tilt and blah blah blah. But I mean, I lost 3 games this year by, you know, 2 points or less because of players that don't even make any contributions anymore at all in fantasy. So you know, you can take your losses and shove it.
Everyone's had you know, poor form managerial wise. Everyone's had COVID issues. Everyone's had injury issues. It's the teams that you put together, that you put on the field, and ultimately, you know, the points that you put on the board.
It's how they play on the field. You know, it's a results based business.
That's you know, fantasy is all about the results.
And let's get to these results. What we think now. This is tough. Again, it's Wednesday. The teams have just been set, you know, so very confusing. And because of that, there are no real no projections yet because teams have not been finalized. There's still waivers. There's still free agents that need to be picked up. So it's going to be kind of tough to really predict. So you kind of have to take a big picture look at these teams when predicting who we think is going to win. So our first matchup is the aforementioned Hatch, who got in by the skin of his teeth, going up against Bosa D's Nuts, who, I mean, it's been so long since we did this pod that the standings have really taken a different shape. I mean, we'll get to, you know, the former Chongers and Bongers, how he ended up finishing, and Bosa D's Nuts, who was at one point a number 2 seed, now he's the number 5, or whatever, whatever it is. I'm just looking at the projections. But these two teams going up against each other, Christian McCaffrey coming back at the right time for these playoffs.
Getting healthy.
Yeah. With those players in mind, and yes, one is Russell Wilson, who has struggled, and that is one of the persons who carried him to the playoffs. What are you thinking about these two teams?
Yeah, I think they're pretty evenly matched. They're solid teams, top to bottom. I know Bosa D's Nuts' current roster is that's fueling the projection, has him winning. I think there's a little bit of screwiness because Yahoo is treating James Conner on the COVID-19. All reports say that he will play. You know, if not, I think there's some other options that Bluey can fill in. I like the firepower on Bosa a little bit more. I mean, you have Russell Wilson going up against the Jets. You have Tyreek Hill and Derrick Henry, who have been great down the stretch. Travis Kelce as well. They are playing a feisty Dolphins team, but Bosa also has Robbie Anderson on his bench, as well as, you mentioned, Christian McCaffrey to fill in for Frank Gore, who, needless to say, I believe got injured in the last game.
Fill in for Frank Gore.
Yeah, that's quite the jump right there. So I lean Bosa D's Nuts. I think Bluey has some solid contributors. He's got some pieces with some upside. I think Deshaun Watson has been playing out of his mind down the stretch. Allen Robinson has become the target hog with Mitchell Trubisky back at quarterback. I mean, the James Robinson has been a solid contributor. There are definitely question marks with Juju, you know, which Zeke will show up. And then, like we talked about, James Conner, I think, has been under the radar, a little disappointing this season. Who do you got, Will?
Oh, this is tough. I think if I'm just looking at, I don't know. I mean, if we're looking at form, then Bluey's Hatch's team is definitely on the uprise, while Bosa D's Nuts is not. I mean, Derrick Henry has been not great, at least 2 of the last 3 weeks. 2 weeks ago, he was outstanding. That Rams team, I mean, Robert Woods is going up against the Patriots. We know how that might end up.
Yep.
Russell Wilson not in good form. Gosh, I mean,
but playing the Jets.
If Hatch makes a run here, that's just 2020 in a nutshell. I think I am going to take both of these nuts, though. And I think it's just because you just kind of mentioned Connor. James Robinson has been really good, but how good is that team going to be these last couple weeks? Zeke, who knows what you're going to get from him. Gronk is very, you know, boom or bust. Juju has been non-existent. Deshaun Watson really going to be his saving grace. Can Deshaun give him 30 points to kind of help him get to that 100, 110 points that he's going to need to win? So I'm going to go both of these nuts.
Not fun
that we're agreeing, but let's go to the next one. And this is crazy. A rematch of last year.
Woo.
Opening playoff rounds. Impeach Trump versus Jay Bell, the commish. So Sean Don versus Jay Bell. Obviously different teams, but last year Impeach won. So we'll see if this happens again. I mean, it's funny reading off this team where I was like, oh, one of them has, you know, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, Chris Godwin, Wayne Gallman.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay. Honestly, getting back to an earlier point, that is one of the things that has angered me about all the G-Man love is like, well, they have a running game. I was like, Wayne Gallman is their running back. Okay, let's take it easy. That's it. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, just take it easy?
Yeah.
Okay, Eagles. I'll give it to Greg on that one. The Eagles, take it easy. And then you got, of course, Jay Bell, who's Lamar Jackson. I mean, he kind of stepped it up yesterday. God. But his team, other than that's really good. You got Dalvin Cook, Chris Carson. Wait, no, that can't be right. I feel like I'm reading a team wrong. No, yeah, I did. I was like, wait, that's impeached Trump. I'm sorry. Lamar Jackson, yeah. He's got the A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin. It's the second running back, again, that's just kind of who knows who he's going to fill in there. So I'm going to go with Impeach Trump again to kind of win the rematch of last
year. Yeah, I could see. I mean, I don't like Corey Davis and A.J. Brown in the lineup. I'm just looking at the bench for Captain COVID and Jay Bell, the commish. I mean, there are options. They're not great options. I think Impeach Trump is going to win this matchup. For his long-term prospects, though, I mean, he's really got to stay healthy because he's got a couple guys on IR and his fill-in players aren't amazing. So I think he's got to stay healthy, maybe pick up another. I don't know when Mark Andrews is coming back. I mean, there's just a lot of moving pieces, as there always is this year. But, yeah, I think –
true. I have no idea if Mark Andrews is going to play out of the COVID thing. Who knows?
Yeah. So I think Impeach Trump rolls pretty easily in this matchup.
Wow. Yeah, and like Aaron Jones hasn't really been himself the last couple weeks. So
no. They haven't on him in the bowl.
Yeah. Before we get into Raft Pool, I kind of teased it a little bit earlier. When I was looking at the standings, I was like, wait.
27 points.
I was like, wait a minute. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is like 8-5. I was like, what? Or whatever his record is now. Maybe it might be 9-4. I'm kind of just talking out of my butt right now.
What Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is?
What was his final record?
His final record was 9-4.
Yeah, 9-4. Okay, because you know he was undefeated for about seven. He was 6-1 or something like that, and I guess the Bel-Air love has definitely, you know, was he a bust this year? I mean, would you call him that? Kind of feel like he hasn't really.
Well, I mean, he screwed a lot of people last week. Well, the Chiefs did, but I don't know if you'd. I guess, you know, he was a first round pick, so you think that he'd need to put up that type of value. I'm pulling up his game log now.
No, it's fine. We just, you know, he still ended up getting a first round bye. But finishing 9-4 with that start, definitely shocking to me when I was looking it up. And so him and Coastin ended up getting the first two byes, or the first byes in the league. So we'll see if they can kind of make a run at the end and cap off their regular season. So who cares about Bel-Air? I don't care anymore. We got to get to Raft Pool because this is a league that we're actually both in the playoffs.
Hey,
obviously a little bit less, but 10 teams. Full PPR, the QB flex, so you can play two quarterbacks. And what a wild, like, this is unheard of with playoffs and final standings. So we kind of went through it throughout the season. At one point, I was 4-1, and Jeff, of course, pretty much ran the table, had a great season here. But I went on quite a downward slope, and somehow I thought I was out, wasn't going to make it, but four teams ended at 6-7. You had the top two teams both at 11-2, and then we had four teams at 6-7, three of them making the playoffs by virtue of points, so I was able to get in there. Not only did I make the playoffs, I'm also the fifth seed. I'm not even the sixth seed.
I wasn't even a squeaker.
Six and seven at the fifth seed. And the one thing I'm scared about, and not even my opponent, is that Orange Rush made the playoffs. And Orange Rush always makes a run. And last year, me and Orange Rush played in the first round of the playoffs, and he beat me. So just letting you know.
Awesome. Way to put that out in the world, Will. Love that.
Yeah, just letting you know. But I'm going up against Derek in our first round matchup. You, of course, have a bye. You and Thielen have a bye. You and the Murph. Just unstoppable forces you guys are. But I'm going up against Derek. I believe Derek beat me at least once already in the regular season. So going to be a tough matchup. Zeke, not even on my starting lineup because he's just been a bum. So Aaron Jones will be playing again, ahead of him, and possibly Melvin Gordon. I don't know who I'm going to play ahead of Zeke.
And you're rolling with Rivers?
I don't know.
Versus Stafford at the Packers? Decisions.
Not the greatest at GM decisions, but what do you think? Who do you think comes out on top in this unbiased me versus Derek? And then we'll go over the next one.
Okay, well, I mean, any team that's starting Devontae Booker, I have to, you know, have some questions about on Derek's team. But he does have options on his bench, as the aforementioned Wayne Gallman, Miles Sanders. Whoo-wee, that's been stinky all year. I think, you know, you got some great names. I think the matchup is unfortunate this week for Josh Allen going up against probably what will be a pissed off Pittsburgh team. You know, Stephon Diggs, the stack there. You got Michael Pittman, but you also have AJ Brown. Oh, that's Antonio Brown. Nope.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're rolling with Pittman probably. You know, you got Aaron Jones. Is he going to show up? Melly Gordon at Carolina. You like that matchup. Let's see. But you got, Kelsey, Claypool, Metcalf, AJ Brown. No 2QB. You know how we feel about that. But he's only got Mayfield as the other option. So I lean.
But I got
Derek's
Tanyan.
Team.
I got Robert Tanyan, dude.
Yeah. You beat me with some Robert Tanyan before. So I know how that feels. He is on a touchdown little run here. His past three games, 15, 17, 13 in this league. So you like that, but he's going up on the other side.
I would love a better wide receiver, but there's nothing. I'll see what I can get on the wire here, but it's going to be tough. Yeah, tough pickings.
Yeah. Well, what has Pittman done for you lately? I mean, he's put up not too great. He had a 19, a 15, and then a 4, and then in a 10. So, you know, that's all you need. You need more than 10 points from your starters in this league of ours, our league. I guess I'll go Derek's team for a little spice, a little bit nice. You got to weave.
Yeah. Prove
you
wrong. And I got to prove you wrong. Got to prove exactly. The haters wrong.
Yeah. Prove that you were that 4-1 team and you're not this 6-7 team that squeaked into a fourth position. Listen, in the playoffs.
When I was 4-1, I did have George Kittle and I had Odell Beckham.
That's true.
I did have a little bit more
players of note.
Yeah, a little bit more players. But yeah, this Derek team is scary. And we'll see if I have what it takes to bring the upset, have a 6-7 team make it to the second round. That would be fantastic. Now the other matchup is Orange Rush versus who we thought at one point was the number one team, and they kind of squeaked in with their low point total, and that's PP Face.
PP Face.
Let's take a look at this matchup here. The Le'Veon Bell PP Face. How many Le'Veon Bell draftees made it to the playoffs? That'd be a great kind of.
Yeah.
Look to see how they did.
But, probably not many.
Yeah. All right, so what do you got? How do we think about this matchup here?
I think PP face, you know, it's going to be tough. There's going to be a managerial decision or two that it's going to come down to. First managerial decision, what is he doing at running back? And the options at the number two spot are not great. Antonio Gibson, as we mentioned before, yeah. current doubtful tag. He's got DeAndre Swift with a questionable tag on him. So those are the real options. So he's got to pick between those. The other big potential controversy for this team is at the second quarterback position. He's got Drew Brees. Mm. Is Drew Brees playing this week? Is he coming back? Are we getting the Taysom Hill experience at Philly? More questions there. I mean, he's got Mike Evans to slot in for that Christian Kirk spot. He's got, you know, options at the defensive spot, which, like we talked about, his other option at defense is the Los Angeles Rams playing tomorrow. So he's got to make a decision against the Baltimore team that is playing Monday, so that it could all come down to Monday night in this matchup. PP face, you do like the Tyreek Hill, Deshaun Watson, and the
Nick Chubb. I mean, I think those are three strong
players. Yeah,
he's going to put Mike Evans in. I think it is that second position. Is he going to, like, he's going to have to, I think DeAndre Swift will play. I guess he was, like, really close to playing last week. Other side, Orange Rush, the notable person who never plays two quarterbacks. You know, he's got some talent at the skill positions, but I think he's just got too many players that he won't be able to play. Yeah. I mean, I did not know DJ Moore was on the COVID list. Did not know that. I guess he was one of the players that tested positive. But they're coming off a bye, the Panthers. But he's got Chris Carson in his flex, which I imagine he should put in his actual running back position, because he has David Montgomery, Miles Gaskin, Edwards-Helaire if he wanted to play him. He has Jamison Crowder, Robbie Anderson, Brandon Ayuk. He's got all those players who he could kind of mix and match since he doesn't have two quarterbacks. Obviously, he's going to play Devontae Adams, who's projected for... Do you see what he's projected for,
yeah,
Devontae Adams?
26 points.
More than Deshaun Watson. He's projected to get more than Deshaun Watson, which...
Yeah.
I mean, I'll place a Google Doc bet on that, I think. What do you think? Who do you think is going to score more points, Deshaun Watson or Devontae Adams in this league?
In this league, I think Devontae Adams, honestly.
I'll say Deshaun gets more points.
Okay. Put it on Google.
And I think that, you know, if Deshaun gets more points, then maybe PP Face has a chance. But stranger things have happened because it's Orange Rush, and I'm picking Orange Rush.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's tough. It's which David Montgomery do we get, assuming that he keeps him in his lineup? I mean, the past two games, he scored over 25 points in this league. You know, previous to that, he had been kind of a stinker, putting up zeros and fives and eights and just not what you need out of a top running back in our league. He's also got a lot of, like, if there's someone with managerial decisions,
that's what I'm saying.
Orange Rush, like, holy moly, he's got CEH on his bench as well. You know, Cam Akers is coming up. At least the past game, he's getting a lot more touches. Who's playing Thursday night? Probably doesn't make it in. But then he's got Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. I mean, I doubt you're standing Brandon Ayuk versus a feisty football team. And then again, we're bringing up Mark Andrews and the COVID. Is he going to play Mike Gesicki going up
Gesicki
against
and Andrews. The Chiefs? Who knows?
Yeah, it's. I think I believed in PP Face. I think he has fewer managerial decisions. I think he'll have more clarity. I do trust the judgment of Orange Rush, but I will go PP Face just to be
finally
contrarian.
A disagreement.
And I, you know, I would prefer playing PP Face. So,
oh yeah, I mean, do you want that scare? Do you want that scare in Orange Rush? Because that dude just
can do nothing wrong in this league.
He turns it on. He is the Shaquille O'Neal of our fantasy playoffs, where he will average 12-10 through the regular season because he doesn't want to try, and then he gets to the playoffs and averages 40-20. So he turns it on at the right time. We turn it on at the right time, Jeff. Just in time for the fantasy playoffs. Meetings abound, work abound, but we squeezed it in. We pinched a loaf, if you will, just in time to get it out for the masses. everyone will hear this and be excited, or maybe they'll be, you know, maybe they'll disagree. Maybe a certain muff will not be liking what is said about him. But we did it, Jeff. Christmas Chronicles await me. The 6 out of 10. The 6 out of 10 told me to watch it. 6 out of 10. Any farewell words before we get out of here?
This podcast definitely better than a 6 out of 10. Great to be back with you, Will. Excited to do it for the people. Peace out.
All right, peace.